Is that coming through?
Yeah.
Testing. I think we'll get started. Is that too loud? It's recording. I'm doing the recording and button and everything else. I think we'll get started. We'll, if we can get people in who are coming in and out who are not coming in. That's right. Lock the doors, make them swing only one direction. That's what we should do. If this is too loud, I'll get Greg to turn it down. Okay. But I'm going to put Dave on the spot today. So when he arrives, we'll put him on the spot. So I've threatened to have a Sunday school class that has an opportunity for anybody who wants to talk to Dave about his sermon, they can ask any question about his sermon, to have a Sunday school class for that very purpose. So I have two questions today. I'm going to put him on the spot. But I told him, I warned him. But today I'm going to test your knowledge. We're not going to do a review yet, but one of these days we're going to do a review of where we've been so far and what we've covered so far. We talked about children the past couple days, and we all are children, so we all have that role in the Christian family. But today we're going to start talking about parents. All of us who are children can wonder whether we can evaluate our parents. How about that? Because it's always the parents' fault, right? Well, let's open in prayer, then we'll get started. Lord God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for our worship time. Thank you for the opportunity to come back tonight and hear lessons and carols, Lord, for those who have worked on that and for Barb and her leadership. And Lord, just pray that you'll lead and direct in that and let the opportunity be there that people would hear the gospel for the first time and would be drawn to you. Lord, just pray that you will use us in that gospel message that people would hear, Lord, but also use us today as we study your word in this class, as we look at your scripture and what it says about being parents and what it means to be parents. Lord, just pray that you'll help us to study your word, and Lord, just lead and direct our conversation today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Try not to do that too much. So, parents, there's a lot to be said, and we're not going to cover it in one Sunday school class, but in the responsive reading today, we were reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, and the last three verses where Christ is teaching. He says, "Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." So when we look at parenting, what is one of our primary roles as parents? What are we to do as parents? I put some ideas down in the outline, but when you what does Scripture say about parenting, and what are we to do as parents? Train up a child. We'll look at that. Train up a child in the way they should go. We should teach them. What should we be teaching them? What's our primary? In the Christian family, what is the primary thing we should be teaching them? Scriptures. That's God's commands, God's scripture, God's... And that's what that verse today was, Christ was talking about. You know, if anyone who annuls even the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, you know, we as parents are, whether we want to be or not, we're teachers because our kids are looking at us and learning from us. And if we minimize God's word or minimize his commandments in any way. You know, this is, when Jesus talks about it, it teaches others to do the same, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's an awesome responsibility with awesome rewards and then there's awesome consequences for failing to do it. And I think sometimes we see that it's trivialized, that is, the idea of parenting is trivialized, or our role in teaching our children is trivialized. But when you look at, when we have baptism here, you know, some of the things that I'm reading from the Book of Church Order, but some of the exhortations to parents for performing their responsibility as parents to that child are, they are to teach the child to read the Word of God. They are to instruct him in the principles of our holy religion as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, an excellent summary of which we have in the Confessions of Faith and in the larger and shorter catechisms of the Westminster Assembly, which are to be recommended to them as adopted by the Church for their direction and assistance in the discharge of this important duty. So we're to recommend to those parents that they can use not only Scripture, but excellent resources that helps explain Scripture. That they pray with and for the child. That they set an example of piety and godliness before him and endeavor by all the means of God's appointment to bring up their child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So as parents, when there's a baptism, you know, that's, you know, we should keep these in front of us constantly. That is, our role as parents are to teach our children in these things. That is, to read the Word, to pray with and pray for our children, to set in a godly example, bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord, and then also to instruct them in all these, in the Scriptures. So that's, as parents, our responsibility. But who else is responsible for raising this child in the Christian family? The church, right. Because when you keep going through this, the charge that is read to the church is, do you as a congregation undertake the responsibility of assisting the parents in the Christian nurture of this child? So, anyway, we'll look at the scripture that backs this up, but just looking at, when you look at a baptism, when you look at what we as a church expect, and it's backed up by scripture, of what our role is as parents, I want to look at that and then how other things can interfere with that. But you think of this, our goal is making disciples. You have this thought of you want to change the world. You know, you want to have influence in the world, or you set your kids off to college. You set them off in life. You want them to have a goal in life and a purpose. And often you hear, you know, why they chose a career is because they want to change the way things are happening. They want to have an impact on it. Well, I think what we don't sometimes realize is that one of our biggest spheres of influence is our family. That is, you know, we influence our children. We have them under our care for a certain amount of time, and then it seems like it's such a long time when they're born, but it becomes so short. We moved Tyler out yesterday to his new place. You know, Kendall left a few years ago. I know all you have done that. You've moved children out, and you think you have time for this. Well, you know, I think we need to recognize the time is short and every opportunity can be one used or wasted in our roles as parents. You know, why are we given children? The one thing, before we jump into it, can I jump into that other thing? Can I put you on the spot? Not completely on the spot. I did talk to you about this. This idea of being able to ask the pastor questions. One of the things I had a question about, there's two things, and one relates to a lesson, the other one doesn't. The first one doesn't. But it's this idea of having a class where we can ask these questions. But you said something about the teaching in Timothy was to, you know, the people will be led by their desires and to seek, to put in front of themselves teachers who basically soothe their passions or preach to their desires. And you used an example, I think, of worship leading. Were you, I guess the question of the negative is, were you saying that we should not desire excellence in worship leading, or those who lead worship? Anyway, let me ask you to explain that a little, expand on that, of whether you're saying we would be wrong to desire excellence in worship leading. Yeah, when does it cross the line of, and how can we guard against that, but also not discourage those who would say, for example, you know, in some churches they actually hire someone to lead singing or be the music director. We've hired Barb as our choir director. You know, so when does it cross the line of seeking excellence and then, you know, going too far? Their desire should be to worship, and everything should be done that draws people into worship. Does that mean we shouldn't have an experience or have emotion in worship?
No, in fact,
I'm getting into sensitive stuff now.
Way
Yeah, I think it's... It's that old adage of, I know it when I see it. It's hard to explain what is the quality of, because it's not about someone who is personally skilled even in a particular way, but someone who draws us into worshiping God. It's not about them. It's about God. Anybody else on that? Themselves, right. Right. Yeah, I think that's all of us, our responsibility when we come here to be ready to worship. We're so distracted by the things. That's why we send out the things on Wednesday to say, here's what worship is going to be. Here's the songs. Here's the scripture reading, giving us an opportunity to prepare our hearts for that worship service. And how many of us do that? Don't raise your hands. That, you know, how many of us do it regularly? I mean, it's something that we ought to be doing. And I'll tell you, the experience of worship, if you want to use the word experience, is so much different when you've come prepared and instead of coming expecting those who are leading to get us whipped up into worship. And it doesn't matter who it is leading then. It's all about worshiping God. But I just wanted to, I appreciate that opportunity to talk about that. And the other question you said was that submission, and we've talked about submission in this class, this is the one that's related, brings unity. And whether or not, and so if, I don't know if you want to expand on that, but whether or not submission means we are to, you know, we talked about whether what is submission and what is not submission. It's not sitting there doing nothing and saying nothing and just doing whatever you're being told, but your parents, maybe. All done in the right way, though. But there's also that protection we talk about in submitting to one another, but also, you know, wives submitting to husbands, we submitting to Christ, children obeying parents. You know, there's a protection in that for them to follow in that way. But also, we talked about, you know, submissive wife is not the mouse of a wife who says nothing. It's someone who, you know, works with the husband in, as a team, but also comes to a decision and then submits to that decision as they go forward in serving Christ. So, you know, we're going to look at what it means. Yeah, sorry. Right, and that's, and in worship, and not, I think we're what we're saying. That's correct. Correct. Yeah. Right, and for example, the song the choir sang today. There are times when I really had to quit looking at the words to avoid almost weeping. But, you know, and it comes about from the words we're using, but also the dynamics can bring about emotion. But it shouldn't be about the emotion. It should be about drawing us into what are these words saying and what do they mean in worship. Yeah, and certainly there will be emotion when you are doing that. Does that answer it? Any other questions? So maybe give me your feedback on whether this is a good format for a Sunday school lesson or for a Sunday school class that people would be interested in having that type of a Q&A time after the sermon. Maybe Dave, I'll get your opinion first. I know, he has several times. So back to this, why are we given children? You look at Psalms 127, 3 through 5, just a little snippet of it. But in Psalm 127, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So when you think of these examples or comparisons of what children are to us, you know, a blessing or gift from the Lord and a reward. But what is this concept of being like arrows and having a quiver full of them? We talk about influence. When you think of an arrow, what's an arrow used for? In battle. And you send it out. Right. And hopefully it shoots straight. At the target you've pointed it towards, and yes. Yeah. We're to give an example of being an image bearer and send them out. You know, talk about, we look at this concept of how you're to raise your children, what we are to do in order to support them, help them, set them on their way, but bringing them up, you know, what are we to do for our children? How far, we've talked about teaching them. We've talked about, you know, guiding them